This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It's time to check in with our Zoomer vote. We're heading into the home stretch and the first full English debate with all the federal leaders, including Justin Trudeau, takes place tonight. There's a lot of hype around it, but the truth is, debates where one of the participants delivers a so-called knockout punch are few and far between. And with many people, observers, predicting that this election will feature one of the lowest turnouts in memory, that means that the Zoomer vote is more important than ever. And so with that, let me give you the numbers for your opinion, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And I'd like to welcome Peter Mugridge, senior editor of Zoomer Magazine, and David Kravit, vice president of Zoomer Media. Hello and welcome.
Hi. Hi, Libby.
So it looks like things did change a little bit over the weekend, didn't they?
It was the first weekend we've had on the Zoomer poll where the conservatives eked out a very narrow, three votes. a very narrow win after falling behind right from the get-go there. They've never won over a weekend period. And so they're not 10 points behind, they're 9 points behind. But if that's a trend, then it's a small one, but it reverses uninterrupted series of losses.
Right. And we did the push out on we did an article on the party's senior platform. So the poll was kind of a measure of where voters stand on the party's senior platform.
Well, that's kind of interesting because I know that presumably independent people who've looked at the platforms say that in terms of goodies for seniors, that the Liberal platform is superior to the Conservatives.
I think this is true, you know, monetarily. There are a number of experts who have looked at not just the dollar amounts, but the breadth of what's covered. The issue is, though, are all of the parties going too narrow? Like, here's my little goodie, here's my little goodie. Mm-hmm. Is there some other ticking time bomb issue? I noticed the Canadian Medical Association is trying to gin up some coverage of health care as an issue and the number of Canadians that don't have a family doctor. Will that resonate with anybody? But I think in mathematical terms, you're right. I think the Liberals probably gave away a few more dollars than the other guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, they did. And it's interesting. So the weekend's tallies, percentage-wise, is 35.97 for the Conservatives to 35.64 for the Liberals. So that's pretty well equal. That's pretty well what yes. other polls show. But in terms of a seat count, that doesn't end up equal.
The Liberals have a more efficient vote. They can actually lose, in all the models I've seen, they can lose the election, the popular vote, by a couple of points and still have more seats than the Conservatives. So the Conservatives need to open up some daylight, and they've not yet failed. They've not yet succeeded in doing that.
Mm-hmm. How do you think, Peter, that the Zoomer vote maybe differs from the general vote?
Our undecided is much higher. So we have a lot of voters sitting on the fence till the last moment, waiting to cast their ballot. And I'd love to be able to reach that 12%, which over the weekend it grew from 10 to 12. So I'd love to reach that 12% and see, you know, where they are, because they'll ultimately decide not only our poll, but the election.
Yeah.
And if they break one way or the other, or if they simply distribute or based on the main numbers, you know, that 12% winds up going 50-50.
Or if they sit it out, right? Like there's that possibility as well.
Well, does it surprise you that the undecided vote actually grew? Can you point to anything that would have caused that, you know, one way or another?
I think the story, the broad stroke story, is that nobody's really caught fire yet. There hasn't been one big issue that has just swept the boards and now everybody's scrambling to realign in response to that issue. Nothing. Nobody's broken free. Nobody's broken out.
And whereas in the last election, by now, Trudeau was breaking away, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like he was, Liberal support was zooming and conservative support was nosediving at this point.
If you look at the Nanos poll, for example, which is a daily 3-day rolling average, they report every single day 35 to 33 liberals, 35 to 33 conservatives, 36 to 34, 34
never
to 34.
Never gets higher than those 2 or 3 points, does it?
In that, NDP goes up to 14, goes down to 13, goes up to 14, goes down to 12. We were locked in this kind of waiting game, I suppose. Maybe the debates will make the difference, but nobody's really broken free yet.
No. Well, it's interesting. So on the positive side, there's nothing that's caught people's imagination, but I'm also thinking, with all the dirt that's been thrown, there's nothing on the negative side that has really upset people. So on the Trudeau end of things, there is the blackface and the brownface on top of SNC-Lavalin. Mm-hmm. And on the conservative things, like little piddly things, except they add up to me, they add up to a lack of confidence. We have Andrew Scheer sort of fudging his resume. He said he was a broker. He wasn't exactly a broker. He maybe was a salesperson. And we didn't really know about his dual American citizenship, but for some reason he kind of took a poll of his constituents because the conservatives trashed other politicians for having dual French citizenship. And he sends a thing out saying, what do you think of that? And how would you feel if it was the United States? I mean, things.
No confidence. Very tentative. But on the other hand, if the blackface, brownface issue wasn't enough to dislodge Trudeau, it's hard to see Canadians rising up against Andrew Scheer because he only took one insurance exam
instead
of three
or four.
Whatever. Doesn't seem like a big swerve your car off the road kind of a problem, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then on the character side, Jagmeet Singh has got huge credit for the way that he has conducted himself in the last few weeks, the way he talked to a voter coming up with, racist remarks saying, why don't you cut off your turban so you look more Canadian? He just totally, I would say, aced those. But in terms of voter support, and certainly not in the Zoomer poll where the NDP has about 6%,
Our voters, our audience at least, our poll participants give the NDP about half the action that the national polls give them. So we're definitely unique in that area.
And is that, do you think that's reflective of the demographic as a whole or maybe just for our particular poll?
Well, it's also reflective of the NDP platform, which doesn't, it's fails.
Dental care thing.
But that's one thing, I think. The rest of it is failing to sort of excite anyone, really.
Yeah, I think also maybe our demographic is a little more inclined to say who's really going to win and who do I want to put into power. This guy's never going to win. So either I'm a lifetime card-carrying, a supporter, if you will. And there's some.
Yeah.
But if it's my vote is if my vote is in play,
that's interesting.
I don't think I want to give it to somebody that's got no chance of being the prime minister. I think that's part of what's going on out
there.
Well,
the people who watch these things in terms of strategic voting and all of that were basically saying a vote for the Liberals are trying to push this, a vote for the NDP or the Greens are saying it's a vote for the Conservatives.
Historically, that's been true, that the Conservatives have needed to drive a wedge and peel off the progressive side of the Liberal vote. And deal only with the centrist side, and then they can win. Otherwise, they.
But the wild card is there's two left wing parties in this election, so that kind of throws with Greens and NDP being equally strong. That kind of throws that old calculus out the back door,
Okay, let's give the numbers out again, people. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of it? if anything, are you looking forward to tonight? Is there something you want to see tonight before you make up your mind? The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And I am here with our Zoomer Vote panel. That's Peter Mugridge, senior editor of Zoomer Magazine, and David Kravitz, a vice president here at Zoomer Media. So let's start with you, David. What are you looking for tonight?
I think the biggest issue for me tonight will be the effect of Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau on stage at the same time. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's an easy win for anybody, least of all the conservatives, on some big gotcha on policy. You know, that Andrew Scheer is going to come up with some profound rebuttal of some policy thing and the earth's going to move. But I think that you see those two guys head to head on that issue. And I believe the leaders are allowed to ask each other questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that is an opportunity to drive Trudeau, I don't want to say into a corner, but drive him up against that issue again, and to see the two of them
face the
brown face, black face.
Oh, okay.
And I think Jagmeet Singh has shown quite a lot of power on that issue. And if he wants to leverage that tonight, I think he's got a golden opportunity to put Trudeau on the defensive.
Well, for a lot of people, I'm assuming that they're going to see this really as a debate between Andrew Scheer and Justin Trudeau. I mean, beyond any particular character issue, there's just, you know, who looks more like your prime minister?
Yeah. And that's interesting because I spoke to a body language expert who had worked with Harper in a previous election, and he said his main task for Harper was to get him to look like a prime minister, to get him calm and assertive and prime ministerial. So Scheer's going to have to sort of evoke Harper in that respect and come off like a leader because he hasn't so far.
Right. And he's got that dimple thing happening with it's not an unpleasant smirk. It's very pleasant, actually.
People turn it into a smirk, though, right? Like it is just a smile at which people sort of say is a smirk, right?
Well, it's not a kind of full smile, but it's not, you know, sometimes a smirk denote something snide. It's not like that at all, but he seems to, I don't know.
Well, the body language expert said he's going to have to get rid of that smile. He's just going to have to be serious in this debate and not smile.
Harper wound up embracing his non-charisma in a sense. Right. I'm a serious.
I love that.
This is serious stuff. I'm the prime minister of the country.
And that's
this
exactly what the coach wanted.
And I'm not buddy-buddy. And Scheer seems caught between the two worlds because on the one hand, he doesn't try to be Justin Trudeau. Fair enough. He doesn't have that natural sort of magnetism. But on the other hand, he keeps flashing that little grin at the end of everything as if he's saying, well, I forgot to check that box. I better be personable. And I don't think he needs to be gloomy or miserable, but I don't think he needs to try quite. I'm with Peter. I don't think he needs to try quite as hard on that.
I thought he's trying to be the anti, like Trudeau. Trudeau basically is an international celebrity.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge amount of personal charisma, and Andrew Scheer is saying, "Hey, I'm the dad next door.
Right.
I'm a regular guy, and he is."
Yeah. He could do that a little bit more, though, but he doesn't need to try that little faux friendly thing at the end of it. He doesn't need that punctuation mark at the end of it.
I think that's something that comes naturally to him and has his whole life.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be very hard for him to get rid of it.
Sold insurance.
Okay.
Maybe that's where he learned it.
Well, I don't know that he learned. I think that is actually one of the authentic things about him.
Yes.
But let's hear from Ziggy in Simcoe County. Hello, Ziggy.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I should say. I just wanted to mention something, and hopefully the Zoomers will listen. I'm a Zoomer. I do not believe in voting for the party that is going to give me what I feel is the best deal. I believe in voting for the party that is going to give our country's future, which is the children and the grandchildren, the best deal, and the environment. So whatever they feel, whichever if it's liberal or conservative or NDP that they feel is going to do the best, it's what they're going to do for the up-and-coming generation, not for us. We're on our way out. Well, they're on their way in.
Not all of us feel we're on our way out. But
there are things. We know how to speak up for ourselves. I do not believe the young people know how to speak up for themselves.
Okay, sure.
They need a leg up. So any grandmother or grandfather out there, are they voting for their best interests or for their grandchildren's best interests?
I think they should
seriously consider that.
Are you assuming that there's a disconnect there, that what's in your interest is not in the interest of your grandchildren?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. And have you decided who to vote for?
Yes.
And you want to tell us?
Green Party.
Okay.
It might be a vote in the favor of the Conservatives, but what it is a boost or a leg up for the Green Party, knowing that they are getting votes. They are going to keep trying to do their best. And I guess I've always been, in a way, for the underdog. But Elizabeth May is a quality person. And I can't see myself voting for anybody else. NDP, the man is too young. I don't believe he's capable.
He's actually a little older than Andrew Scheer. Mm. Ziggy, thanks for your call. It's a very young field. So we have Andrew Scheer, who's barely 40. Jagmeet Singh, I think, is a few months older than him. Justin Trudeau's
older than all.
Yeah, he's 47, but he doesn't look it. He's 47.
And May is 65.
May is 65. Mm-hmm. She is Maxime Bernier mm-hmm. is, I'm not sure how old he is, but he'd be a Zoomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
But it is a young field. You're quite right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Overall.
Well, let's put it this way. The two people most likely to be prime minister are pretty young, though. I guess at 47, that's not, you know, that's not outside young anymore, though. I think 40 is pretty young.
Bear in mind, too, just as an interesting factoid, Justin Trudeau's father was not elected to, would have been elected to parliament for the first time 5 years from now. Didn't even enter parliament. He was in his 50s.
Right.
Okay. Let's hear from Stephen in Parkdale. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Libby. Okay. I know it's not going to happen, but what I would love to see happen is one of the leaders stand up and say, you know what? The pollution that you're putting out there, whether it be industry or whoever, it's going to become a criminal offense. Mr. Singh was up visiting the Grassy River. What's the name of the reserve?
Grassy Narrow Reserve.
There's mercury in the water. It's nothing new. It's been there for years. We know who the polluters are. To find them, they're going to just pass the costs on in production to us. So make it a criminal offense that the CEOs are responsible. We're cleaning up things, and you know what? I think the environment would get a lot cleaner, a lot faster that way, rather than carbon taxes or we're going to give them money to do this, or we're going to quit giving them handouts and say, you know, you're killing us. Stop it.
Okay, Stephen, thanks for that. Well, Jagmeet Singh was at Grassy Narrows. I don't know if that's a wide issue. I think people agree. I mean, we need to get clean water.
Yeah, the environment is a big issue, and our age group is as environmentally conscious as anybody else. And they claim that it's in some of our polls. I think Peter second most important. What to do about it? Of course, is where there's a lot of different opinions.
Here's the question that I have. I have my doubts about people actually voting on that. And the number one issue is health care. You haven't really heard much talk about health care. Everybody says we're going to do the best job as the stewards of our health care system or improvement of our health care system. You know, so there's a big, to me, very big disconnect from what the average or not what people say is most important to them and what is out there being discussed.
But these are all motherhood topics.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's going to come out and campaign against better health care. So they all look at it and they say, we're in favor of it and we're going to tweak it this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to Diane in Mississauga. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Libby. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. I haven't been listening to all of the conversations that have been going on over the past weeks regarding the campaigns, but I have to say, about 30-some-odd years ago, the Liberals decided to turn their campaigning into a slander campaign. So rather than talking about issues and what was going on, they just badmouthed the other teams. And I think that's just, you know, pervaded the entire political scene for so many years now. I think it's disgusting. And I'm at the point now where I'm saying, you know, after 40-plus years, I'm almost considering not voting anymore because these campaigns aren't campaigns.
Mm. Maybe that explains the high undecided vote.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
You're really considering not voting?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, at least it's a something you're considering as opposed to just like not getting around to it.
I think if you thought about it and you withhold your ballot, I think that's valid in a democracy.
To vote in a way.
It is. Yeah. I mean, if you could, I think they should just say, okay, the top four teams have a equal vote, have a consensus vote, run the country, and run it on that.
Oh, that'll
basis.
Work really well, consensus. Okay, yeah, I wouldn't put my faith in that. And I think, you know, given what you've said about the way the campaign is happening, think about it.
Right. But,
no,
she does,
but I mean, wouldn't that force people to get along together?
No,
I mean, we're living in a world of extremes now. Everything is an extreme, you know.
He
was in a Halloween costume, and now it's a big extreme.
It would cause
thing.
Chaos. Look at the countries where they have to have coalitions. Yeah. Like, don't even. Anyway, no. Diane, I hope that you reconsider.
Can I ask Diane a question?
Get out and vote. Yes.
Diane, are you going to be watching the debate tonight?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I haven't decided.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's undecided.
I mean, I wasn't trying to get
to it.
Well, Diane, give it a little look. You don't have to watch the whole 2 hours. And I would encourage you to get out and vote, but I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're bad-mouthing one another, what are they doing? Are they actually going to do something good for this country? I don't think so.
Mm. Okay. Sorry you're so disappointed. Bye-bye, Diane.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people are saying about this whole election. It's not, I mean, last time it was a change election. People felt like it was really time for Harper to go. And this time, there's, as you said at the beginning of the show, there's nothing that is really, really catching people's imagination.
But Diane does point out something that is true, especially with more digital media, with the ability to segment voter groups, the rise of all these consultants and spin doctors, and every statement they make is focus group tested and so on. So there is a case to be made that it's getting less authentic all the time. And I think that explains some of the popularity of the Green Party, real or perceived. You know, we can debate the substance, but it seems more blatant and ideological, and this is what we believe, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, except, I mean, her platform that she came out with, that she's going to fix all the ills of the world.
Yeah.
She's going to get rid of pollution. She's going to do it fast and get rid of the deficit in 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that long?
and universal income as well.
Like all of that, all of that. And she's going to balance the budget in a way that even people who want austerity and cuts.
No, it's true. Perfectly true.
Okay. Ray in Toronto. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Libby. Why is, like, the French debate was in Quebec, right?
Right.
Okay, why is the debate again there tonight in Quebec?
Well, it's just across the water in Ottawa. It's at the Museum of History, which is the museum of our country that Andrew Scheer just promised to make completely free. And that's in Gatineau, but you may as well
but wouldn't
call it Ottawa.
Ain't that to Trudeau's advantage, the debate there?
No.
It's really an extension of Ottawa.
It's the Ottawa region.
It's the Ottawa region. It's the capital. I don't
capital
think.
Capital region.
The capital is called the National Capital Region.
Yeah. One more question, Libby. The Bloc is going to be in this debate, right?
You bet.
Okay, how can he be in a debate when he don't have no MPs outside of Quebec or anything?
It's a federal party, though. And he's going to have a lot of MPs at the end of this election.
He has more seats than a couple of people in the debate.
Exactly. You know? He has more seats, certainly, than Maxime Bernier.
And the Greens.
And the Greens.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, that's the only two questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
I already made my mind up anyway. But.
Okay, you want to tell us?
Yeah, I'm voting conservative.
Okay, thanks,
Thank
Ray.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks.
We are going to take one more quickly before we wrap things up. And in Toronto. Hello? And in Toronto.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Sorry. I better turn this down.
Yes, so. You better.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
I really feel that it's time for all the parties to look at the environment because I'm really concerned about our future generations. And when you look at all the science, we are in big trouble. And I get a little annoyed with the back and forth between liberals, conservatives, when neither one of them are doing anything for the environment. And so I'm very concerned about my great-grandchildren and whether they're going to have a world to live in. And so I really am going to vote green myself because I feel that even though it's not going to make a hill of difference, at least it's giving me peace of mind that I really care about the environment. I really care about the future of my great-great-grandkids.
Okay, and thanks for that. Okay, so we're out of time. Interesting that when I get calls from people who are worried about the environment, their grandchildren, it's from women.
Mm-hmm. Notice that.
Yeah, I notice.
And I don't think that that's just some anomaly of the show. So that's interesting. But we have to go for now. So before we go, starting with Peter, what are you looking for tonight?
I'm looking for a debate that's kind of crazy, but there's too many people. It's just going to be chaotic. Nothing ever happens in these things. And tonight it'll be even less than nothing, I think.
I'm looking to see if anybody deliberately tries to create a TV moment, knowing that what Peter said is true, planning it ahead of time.
They all will try.
What's my moment that people are going to remember and talk about tomorrow, and who's going to do the best job of creating that
moment? It'll be so transparently obvious that they're trying to make
They'll
a point.
Try.
Okay. I'm hoping and wondering that we will see something reflected about the debate in our segment next week on the Zoomer vote. But I guess we wait and see. People, it is a chance to vote. Zoomervote.ca. Your voice will be heard. Your vote will be counted. And thank you so much, David Kravitz and Peter Muggeridge.
Thank you, Libby.
Thanks, Libby.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.